This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 11th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good will join us too. He'll help us take a look at this morning's extraordinary USDA reports. It was another January surprise for the marketplace. Stay with us for this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, the 11th of January, March futures in the soft red winter wheat pit gained 26¾ cents to finish at 909¼. The May up the limit, 30 higher at 922½, and July up the limit, up 30 at 806. March corn futures were up 20. That's the limit higher, like the rest of the pit. $4.95 the settlement for the March, the May at $5.06¼, and July at $5.16. December futures at $5.13¼ for the new crop, all 20 cents higher, all up the limit. January soybean futures 42 higher at $12.86, the March at $12.98¾ up 38½, and the May contract at $13.17 up 39½. November beans limit higher, up 50 cents at $12.45. January bean meal futures at $3.51 up $9.50, the March contract at $3.58.60 up $10.40. January bean oil at $52.10 up $1.25, the March oil at $52.66 up $1.39. Live cattle futures over at the Mercantile Exchange, $1.85 lower at $91.35. The April futures at $95.50, 50 cents lower. January feeder cattle at $99.50, down $2.25. The March contract at $102.50, down $2.27½ a hundredweight. February lean hog futures at $54 even, down $1.52½. The April futures at $62.25, down 25 cents. And the May contract in the hog pit at $70.32½. 2½ cents higher on the afternoon. Crude oil futures, $92.50 a barrel, down $1.21. The March at $92 even, down $1.21 as well. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,608, and it's 245 points lower at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
USDA releasing several reports this morning. The final crop production estimate in billions of bushels looks like this. The corn at 13.074 billion bushels. That's down from the November estimate of 13.168. Soybeans, a 2.585 billion bushel crop in 2007. From 2.594, the November estimate. The average yield at 151.1 for the corn and at 41.2 for the soybeans. Beans were at 41.3 in November, the corn at 143. And then the ending stocks, where things were really explosive. The average trade guess at a 1.709 billion bushel ending stock. USDA in December estimated it to be at 1.797 by the time we get to the coming fall. And the January estimate, just 1.438 billion bushels. Carryover for the soybeans at 175, and that's down from the 185 that was estimated in December, but still right near the trade guess at 172 on average. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at those numbers and what they meant today and what they may mean in the future is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Are you tired?
We are tired. We had a great meeting last night, but we're excited, too. You can't be other than excited with these kind of markets.
Oh, dang. I almost forgot that you and Davey were out last night with a meeting there in Lafayette. How'd that go?
We had a really nice turnout, and we had such a nice time, had a really good group of people, and had a very good a mesh of people. People from Iowa came. It was really, really unexpectedly great. You know, I think it was an evening meeting during the week, and we were thinking maybe only, you know, 30, 40 people. We had well over 100. We were very thankful for everybody that came out and joined us.
Magnificent. And you told them last night that USDA was going to release an ending stocks that was down 359 million bushels, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. And we were going to probably keep it right at that and say, we'll tell you more tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh, how surprised were you when you opened that up at 7:30 today?
I think the corn number did surprise me. You know, we've been talking about you can't have big acres and big yield for, what, 14 months now, Todd, and we had just about given up, and we finally got a little bit of that back. But I think the corn number really surprised us. I will have to say the wheat number did not surprise us that much because we had actually gotten cut from the Dow Jones and Bloomberg surveys because our number was too low, and we came in at 45.2 on winter wheat seedings, the actual number 46.6, but there was actually people putting out 51 million planted acres of all winter wheat, and statistically that's very hard to do given this report. They may end up being closer than they think right now, but statistically for January that's a little bit of a stretch, and I think the trade, it really boiled down to, in wheat especially, the trade was looking for a supply cushion. They were set up for a buy the rumor, sell the fact in the wheat especially. And you could tell that in the last couple days of trading, along with the mindset that the index funds were going to be rebalancing their portfolios. And so the wheat was the leader going into the report. And that's what one thing we really did hit hard on last night, that if we're going to keep this market rallying, even when it comes to row crop acres, we need to keep the winter wheat acres down, and especially the soft red winter wheat acres down, because then your double crop bean acres aren't going to be ballooning that much. And today's report fit that bill real nicely. And so I think especially when it comes to the corn and the new crop beans, they have a lot to thank in July KC wheat and July Chicago wheat, in our opinion.
So I guess when you look at it, and we'll stay with the wheat since that's where we started and what you want to talk about just a little bit. When you look at this, that wheat number is low enough, and it's set at this point, I suppose, for the most part. We could garner some spring wheat acres out of a big pop in the marketplace, but I don't suppose there will be that many extra acres that go to wheat in the coming months, or are those folks that are in Minnesota and parts north more likely to put more spring wheat acres in because it's cheaper than adding that much nitrogen for corn?
Yeah, I think we're going to look for higher spring wheat acres, but I think, again, that's kind of like row crops. It depends on what the weather's like, and it's been very wet in that part of the country. I think what really did surprise me wasn't so much the soft red winter wheat acres. We're only up, you know, just under 2 million acres. I guess I was a little bit surprised that the hard red numbers were actually down versus last year, that North Dakota was the only state that increased acres versus last year. And I talked to a client and a contact later in the day, and I asked him, what do you hear out of Oklahoma? And he said, you know, my mindset and what I picked up was it was very dry down there initially, and they couldn't really get a good quality seed. And so even at these price levels, they didn't really want to take too many chances after last year's crop. And that's probably the best explanation I could give you right now as far as why in the world would those HRW numbers be so much lower and be actually down versus last year. But what it does is it puts right back on the table the Argentine crop, the Southern Hemisphere crop, and the winter wheat weather in the Southern Plains, because end users that we talk to, you know, importer, exporter people that buy physical wheat either out of Brazil or out of Argentina or our U.S. Gulf, they were on the sidelines saying, I'm going to wait. I'm going to get a cushion of supply here. The U.S. is probably going to save us by replenishing supplies very adequately. And you can't say that after these numbers were released this morning. And I think, again, that spilled over into the corn pits, because I think we saw nearly a half a million tons of, like, 420,000 tons or so of corn go out the door as soon as the report was released between South Korea and unknown destinations. We think those end users were probably looking at the wheat to buy on a dip, and they actually saw that it probably wasn't going to dip, and they stepped in and got their corn needs filled. And I think we can expect more of that next week. And we're going to have to contrast that with elevator protection. Some elevators we heard last night at the seminar out west especially aren't taking 09 HTAs, aren't letting you sell deferred contracts, cash grain. You're going to have a really tough time in the commercial market, I think, if this rally continues all the way into March. It's going to be quite a contrast between the futures and what you can do at your elevator, I'm afraid.
Okay, we're going to let you go today. We'll talk with Darrell Good and Bruce Bostard the rest of the way out. We appreciate you taking up the wheat market with us.
Thank you, Todd. You guys do a great job.
Thank you much. That's Mike Zuzla of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own meteorologist, Jay Searles. It's short. He says mostly cloudy skies tonight. Lows will range from 21 in the north to 30 in the south. And Saturday in Illinois, mostly cloudy. A chance of afternoon rain showers or flurries. In Indiana, mostly cloudy. Highs will range from 30 in the north to 39 in the south. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Extension Ag Economist from the U of I, Darrell Good, to take a look at the Friday release of the USDA crop production, grain stocks reports, and other reports. Good afternoon to you, Darrell. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Todd. Good afternoon.
Let's take a look at these numbers as they came out and talk mostly about the corn and the soybeans. I'd like you to begin maybe with the export figures and the livestock figures and how usage changed in the corn.
Well, the big change in corn, of course, was on the forecast of how much corn we will find in the feed and residual category for this marketing year. USDA upped their forecast by 300 million bushels based on the apparent performance during the first quarter of the marketing year. Based on the level of stocks on December 1, it appears that feed and residual use during the first quarter of the marketing year was, in fact, record large and probably about 9% larger than a year ago. That's huge, completely unexpected, and comes right out of the projection of year-ending stocks. USDA did not increase their forecast of corn exports for the year. But when we look at the Census Bureau numbers of monthly exports, and we just got the numbers today for November, we see that the Census Bureau numbers are running 40, 45 million bushels higher than what the USDA has been reporting on exports to date. So I think there's some evidence of some additional strength there as well that might eventually result in even a smaller projection of year-ending stocks.
And these present the largest usage ratio since the early 1970s?
Yes. On which usage ratio, Todd?
We're looking at, an 11.7% stocks to usage ratio in 73 and 74?
Yeah, I think really that 95-96 year, when we got down to about 4%, I think, on corn was about as tight as we've ever been.
As you take a look at the numbers, then, what do you say about marketing corn prior to the holiday break, prior to the beginning of the year? We were talking with you about maybe getting to 80% sold over time and then holding off the last 20% for corn and soybeans as a spec sort of trade as we went into the summer months. Do the current high prices and this report change your mind on that? That kind of trade?
Not very much, Todd. I think what we were talking about at that time is, okay, whatever you have left over, let's just meter that out over the next few months and take advantage of whatever price we have. And I think that's still going to be a good strategy. I think I would be happy with whatever the average is going to be, say, between now and June, whatever part of the crop I've got left, just kind of meter that into the marketplace over the next 4 or 5 months and capture the average price. Looks like that's going to be an extremely good price on both corn and beans.
And you think that'll be a good price for old crop and new crop both?
A new crop, I tend to be on the sidelines on new crop. because of the protection we can get from the revenue insurance products. If we can maintain prices, anywhere near the current level through February, we're going to have some huge revenue guarantees with those products, and in effect, that's going to establish a kind of a floor for us. And then, so I don't want to get too aggressive, thinking that once I get through the insurance month, I'm pretty well protected. And then I want to get aggressive on new crop only if prices move above that insured level. So I think we've got an excellent opportunity here on new crop to have downside protection and then be in a position to sell any summer rallies.
What does USDA say about average trade or average cash prices for the coming year now?
For this marketing year, 2007-08, they're putting the midpoint of their projection at just right at $4 on corn and a bit over $10 on soybeans. So these would both obviously be record high prices received by farmers for a marketing year average.
Record high prices, do they translate with the increased prices, increased cash rent prices into those kinds of revenues?
I think it really does. Recognizing that not all of our land is cash rented, not all of it is rented at the high rates that we hear, I think for many producers, these kind of prices coupled with the kind of yields we had in 2007 are going to translate into record kind of net returns per acre. That the cost side is certainly increasing, but has nowhere closely kept pace with the increase in price of corn and soybeans.
And limit up moves on Friday in the corn and the soybeans and the wheat as well. Can there be expectations that there will be follow-through on Sunday evening and Monday?
I didn't look closely at what happened to the options market to see if they would suggest that. It's hard to, I think, to maintain that kind of momentum when we've already had such a rally going into the reports. So I think at some point one might expect a bit of a setback in these prices, but I continue to think that we're not going to look at a long-term change in the trend, that we're not going to see the bottom drop out. There's just too much riding on another large crop in 2008, and we've got to get a lot of acres planted, and we've got to have good yields in 2008. If we don't, then we're going to see another leg up. So I don't see really a lot of downside risk permanently. Certainly we'll see some setbacks.
No. Would you say that was for corn or corn and soybeans or corn and soybeans and wheat across the board?
Well, I think more on corn and soybeans. The difference on wheat, I think, is the rest of the world has a pretty good opportunity to respond to the high prices and bring more acreage into production. That's just not the case on corn and soybeans and won't be really until another 9 months when South America gets another shot at it. And certainly if we hold prices at these kind of levels, I think you will see a very significant response in acreage in South America. So I think for the next 9 months, it's kind of everything dictated by what happens here in the U.S. on the supply side.
Can you tell me which of the numbers that you saw that interested you most out of the markets today?
I think clearly it was the December 1 corn stocks number, remarkably small, even with the smaller production forecast we had. It came in a couple hundred million bushels, smaller than one would have thought. And I think certainly that sets the tone for the corn market and means that our year-ending inventories now are going to be relatively tight once again.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
We did see USDA lower the Brazilian production number again on soybeans. That crop is South America is expected to be bigger than last year, but the margin is getting smaller all the time.
We appreciate your taking the time today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's U of I Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good joining us here on the Closing Market Report. Thanks much to Darrell for taking a look at the Friday USDA reports with us. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Time now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market after the reports this morning. Bruce Bostard on the line with us from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I bet you were busy, or at least on the phone today a lot, weren't you?
It was a very busy phone day. A lot of questions, a lot of calls, some cash movement. You have to look, you know, as we've run these prices up so far and so fast, one of the reactions is that your average size lot that you're buying has really gotten smaller. People have less bushels to sell, or there's more uncertainty. So, you know, one person who might normally sell 5,000 bushel maybe sells 500 or 1,000.
Are they? Well, I guess that tells you that they're holding off on sales. How much, and I think we asked this last week as well, but how much do you think that they have left in the bin at this point in your area?
Just as a wag, I would say we're somewhere over 80% bought on old crop corn. A lot of the old crop corn has moved. New crop, kind of a moving target. You know, that, of course, depends on what we come in with this fall, but I have better than 150% of the purchases we had on last year at this time, and that was historically a heavy purchase number. Soybeans, I'm probably at 400% of last year. And same thing there. Last year was a relatively heavy compared to historical purchase number.
Do you think you'll have many takers on new crop sales today, tomorrow, or today and Monday?
Some scale-up selling into it. Tell you the cash market's initial reaction to this thing was touching a hot stove, and we saw basis levels back off. We've seen some people go out there with no bids nearby or basis only on nearby. We've seen basis levels back off until we have the futures market a little bit more defined. You know, logistically, I would have expected IC Rail maybe it's been under pressure, maybe to hold steady or be up a little bit with the high water on the Illinois River, but instead it's been backing off.
Your expectations for the trade on Monday?
Tell you what, this makes a real interesting, real wild ride out here. It's the Board of Trade show, not a basis show right now, but this takes all the base assumptions that we were working off of up until this morning, throws them out the window, and we can start all over again now.
And we start all over. Will producers, do you think, make new decisions about planting corn acres and how many acres of corn they can put in the ground, or are they limited by the number of stack varieties that are available and hybrids that they might be able to purchase?
Right now, I think they might be relatively limited as far as what we do in the core corn belt, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, because we had a pretty good fall and a lot of inputs went in early. I think a big chunk of ground is locked in. Wheat went in the ground. It'll get double crop beans on it, if at all possible. Corn had anhydrous put on it, so it's locked into corn. I think a lot of the change now comes on the periphery. If I'm in South Dakota, do I plant spring wheat or do I plant soybeans? If I'm in Mississippi, do I plant beans or corn or cotton? So that's what we'll be fighting for.
And your bids for the day, Bruce?
We are at 466 for nearby corn in Paxton, 473 new crop, 1234 nearby soybeans, 1194 new crop.
Bruce, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg about the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Right now, it's time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A Southern Illinois congressman says the low-pollution power plant to be built in Mattoon could be downsized. Republican John Shimkus of Collinsville says the Future Gen project could also be changed to include several sites around the country. He says he's heard the Department of Energy is considering that scenario and others to cut the project's $1.8 billion price. Emergency workers remain on standby in Watsika as another day passes with flooded streets and houses.
The police chief says there have been no new evacuations, and his department currently is concerned mainly about controlling traffic in the Iroquois County seat. More than 400 homes remain evacuated because of the high level of the Iroquois River. A proposal to give senior citizens free rides on public transport in Illinois may not have that big an effect on one agency. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District has offered free bus passes for seniors for 6 years, but its assistant director, Tom Costello, says it's not clear whether the offer in Governor Ralph Blagojevich's amendment to a Chicago-area public transit bill will extend to rides on point-to-point or dial-a-ride programs. Costello says the MTD implemented free bus passes in part to lessen dependence on the much more expensive point-to-point service. The governor has yet to sign the bill, and the legislature would have to vote on the change. It's part of a bill that boosts the Chicago area sales tax by a quarter cent. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is going to bat for his property tax relief and restructuring plan before the House Ways and Means Committee next week. It's unusual for governors to testify before state legislative committees, but Daniels says he'll do so because the issue is so important. A new study shows state spending on higher education nationwide is up sharply this year, but the economic slump means the flush times are unlikely to last. States were slated to increase spending on higher ed 7.5%, $77.5 billion this fiscal year, which in most states began last July 1st. A report released today from Illinois State University's Center for the Study of Education Policy found that the percentage increases have been rising steadily since 2004. That's the last time states cut their spending. ISU professor James Palmer conducts the annual Grapevine survey. He says for fiscal 08, there was enough oomph left in the fiscal earnings of most states to provide an uptick in spending. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to take a look at the weather forecast for the two-state region and the Midwest. Joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A lot of rainfall over the last week here in our part of the world. Some flooding. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, we pretty much, I think most of Illinois, maybe the far northwest and the far south, probably had anywhere from 2 to 3 times their normal January rainfall in just the day or two of storm we had earlier this week. We've seen a pretty good band of rain all the way from Pike County in western Illinois through Iroquois and Kankakee of generally 2 to 4 inches of rain. Some of the observers with the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network here in Illinois reported upward of 4.8 inches of rain in McLean and Iroquois County. So a lot of rain in a very short amount of time over ground that's already pretty well saturated because of the weather we had in December and the fact that nothing's growing, so there's nothing to take it out. So it was a pretty remarkable event from many aspects.
And that was what happened previously. Let's take a look at what will be coming up for us, too.
Well, the good news is, if there is any, it's probably going to be a little drier for the next week or so, maybe longer. We certainly don't look for any big rainstorms. On the other hand, it looks like we are going to be getting much colder as we work through next week. The Climate Prediction Center's 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlooks did a big flip today, and virtually the whole middle part of the country is expected to be below normal temperatures through the next 14 days. And with a rather high probability of that, we look for Arctic air to gradually work its way down here next week. Next weekend probably will be where it really starts to get cold, with perhaps highs only in the lower mid-20s here in the central part of the state, and lows in the single digits and teens, and maybe some occasional light snow or flurries, but the cold is on the way, it looks like.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, I think it's about it. We'll just hope that we get away with some dry weather for a while.
Thank you much.
Okay, Todd.
And that is today's Closing Market Report. Our thanks go to Steve Hilberg, Mike Zuzlow, Bruce Bostard, and, of course, U of I Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good for helping us take a look at the January 11th USDA reports. Be sure to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time for Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. And don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free, and you can listen to most of the ag programming online or sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast. You have a good afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.